This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Russ Masterton, Corrie Lynch, our podcaster, Joe Pryor. Well, this is hour number two.
It's just flying by. I can't believe it.
Now, Russ, what else did you do during the week that we haven't already mentioned on air?
Okay.
That we can mention on air.
I was almost not going to turn up today because.
God damn it, no way.
Because you're not going to believe what is on in Bendigo.
Pull my leg, go into me.
Bendigo on the Hop.
Really? Does that involve an Easter Bunny?
No, it's the craft beer weekend up in Bendigo.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you were into craft beers.
I do like a sip every now and then, but what I like about it is what Bendigo's putting on up there. So it's huge. They've got all these little microbreweries, and if you're into a weekend away, all day today in Bendigo it's happening. So Bendigo is on the Hop. If you like a bit of hop, get up there now and get into that craft beer. Fabulous.
Well, not only, of course, is that happening in Bendigo, but our dear friends at the Art Series Hotels have a hotel in Bendigo.
They do.
And, in fact, I was at Spoonbill, the restaurant underneath the Olsen, is it, or the Cullen in opposite the Como?
God, the Olsen.
The Olsen, that's right, yes, for breakfast this morning, which was interesting. I had pancakes.
Speaking of food,
yes,
I know we've
indeed.
Just had our food hour.
Well, yes, because Mr. Pete Dillon is having a deserved break, so we've just done a little fill-in.
I have found Melbourne's best panna cotta this week.
Really? Is that still a thing, panna cotta?
It is still a thing,
all
panna
right.
cotta.
Come on then, tell us about
Tin Pot Cafe
right.
in Brunswick. You cannot go wrong.
Okay.
We sat down and we ordered. It is well known for its panna cotta, this little place. We arrived and we ordered main course and panna cotta and our eyes lit up. When the panna cotta came out first, but it was for another table. But we said, yes, bring it on.
Do they do the traditional vanilla flavour or?
It's vanilla with berries on top. It is divine.
Right. So, yes, quite a classic combination.
Absolutely
there.
Divine.
Indeed.
Now, travel listeners, do keep your ears to the ground because we are 2 weeks off 2017 Europe Early Birds.
Right.
Yep. So don't you dare book any airfares for next year at this very time. Because
next week.
Absolutely. Wait until the first 2 weeks of September to book your 2017 holidays.
That's a good tip.
Well, you've heard it here. That's what we're here for.
We don't want anyone booking airfares now. You're going to be ripped off. You're going to pay too much. All of the airlines are coming to the party. 2017 early bird deals. In fact, across all classes. So if you're a first class connoisseur, a business class important person, premium economy, la-di-da, or a cattle class pleb.
An economy important person.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Corrie. Watch this place because we know you're going to get a bargain. And big airlines like Qantas and Emirates and Etihad, they have worldwide sales. So it's not just to Europe. Mm. It's all places, all airlines. 2017.
And it starts on Monday or Sunday?
It starts 2 weeks' time, so into September. Yeah. So if you're travelling next year, wait. Don't book now.
That is very good news.
That's right. Corrie, how's your week been?
Oh, yeah, just very, very cool. Yeah.
We did have a weather change.
Yeah. But my passport needs to be renewed. And so I'm just...
How on earth did you leave?
Right.
Oh.
Because it's going...
You've got that look on your face.
There's just a lot of bureaucracy that I'm figuring out because I will... It'll expire in January, but I'll still be here, so I can still, hopefully, and I just have to get it renewed here by this consulate.
Yep. And it's not difficult, actually.
No. Yeah, it's just $110, and I was like, just to go into other countries.
Darling, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, or a free passport. picture.
You young millennials have to understand this.
You're going to have a great... well, it's very easy to renew. The people at the US Consulate in St Kilda Road are lovely people.
Yeah, yes. How did you know that? That's
well, I'm
very,
about to get a visa.
Travel? You know everything.
Yeah, I'm about to get a visa for the United States. Because
just do it
I went
online?
To, no, I can't because I went to Iran 2 years ago.
Oops.
And that's a no-go country
it
for
is,
the United
yes,
States.
Yeah,
yes,
true.
Is,
yes.
So I've got to go into the consulate and have an interview.
An interview. I've always wanted that.
Yeah, and they're going to tell me whether I'm allowed into the United States or not. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that you know, I haven't grown my Osama bin Laden beard or anything like that to offend them. So I'm hoping that they'll, you know,
you're
and considering my job is a travel agent, they will let me back into the United States. But nothing's ever guaranteed until you've got that passport stamped, as they say.
Cool.
Well, Nurse James has just got in touch to say that's great news for Nurse James because he's travelling May and June, so thanks for the tip about airfares.
Oh.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Yeah.
And here's a little radio tip. One voice at a time, Corey.
I like when we talk over each other.
Listeners
at the
don't,
same
darling.
Time.
Now, the most important thing that's happening in this next hour between 2 and 3 p.m. is that we have a special guest to welcome into the studio. I think we should go with Liam Sardera Esquire, I think would be most appropriate.
Thank you.
Philosopher.
Esquire.
Fragrance expert, connoisseur, Liam, welcome to the Escape Pod.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's great. Liam, I'm going to call myself a butch gay boy.
That's quite all right.
And I would like to know more about what you do, a fragrance curator. Now, I'm the sort of person that, you know, I'll just go and get my Brut 33 and 4711 and just splash
blindly,
it all over my face.
You close your eyes and choose.
That's right. That's right. I do have some decent colognes at home, but I would love a background on you and your knowledge would be fantastic.
Yes, of course. I think the question is where to begin, really.
Perhaps when you first discovered fragrance.
Yeah, I think the romantic answer really is I've been doing it all my life, albeit very short, a 19-year life so far. I think with fragrance, I found out really quickly that everything I did revolved around the senses. So even, you know, very young, I liked to try new foods. I'd always, you know, I'd always order the slightly different thing on the menu. And if we're going to the same place, order something new and, you know, have a sip of your aunt's wine or your, you know, your grandpa's cognac or something, you know, something along those lines.
It's always the aunt that's got something
no,
good.
I have to agree there, yes. So that started out very young and, you know, I think when you're young, you don't really know how to put a label to those things and you just do what you do, basically.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's very important. And then, you know, I think you start getting older, you know, high school stages especially is when you sort of start to form an identity for yourself. And I'm like, oh, I like food. So whenever we'd go out for a restaurant, I'd really quickly write things down on the napkin and really get to the essence of it.
Well, like the ingredients?
Just flavors, ingredients.
Cool.
I like to dissect in that respect. I like to, you know, think about it in terms of, you know, what is it made of, but also what does it do for me sort of question, you know, those sort of big questions that almost move into the philosophy of things, which is pretty much why I'm doing philosophy now. That's what really interests me. But back to the development stages, I am, you know, getting to clothing and fashion. And so when I was rather young, I was buying pocket squares at 14 or so. And with some success, you know, you look back and you always make some blunders. You know, black and brown, for example, is generally a no-no. And I think of it now and get a bit, oh no, I can't believe I did that.
We need to go shopping.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a good shop.
I need a personal shopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I've got on today, but it's not going to be matching.
Don't look.
No. I sent out a tweet yesterday actually going, if I don't look at my bank account, I'm neither rich nor poor.
Yes,
I have neither $100 nor $1 million. So that's the best way to go.
Yeah,
when it comes to shopping for me. So anyway, I guess to cut a long story short about me, about the development stages, got into fashion, got into food, realized that I'd always wear perfume. Even when I was young, I'd steal you know, my mother or my father's obsession from Calvin Klein. That's a really good one. Bulgari Black, Dior's Fahrenheit, all those big 90s, early 2000s scents. And then, you know, you're old enough and you go, oh, I think it's time to buy myself a fragrance. And I loved it. And there we go. I've got over 100 fragrances now, and they're all in their packaging.
Oh, my God.
Really,
you
great.
Are a collector.
I'm a collector.
Wow.
Although, would you believe I'm trying to cut down at the moment? So I'm shedding the sort of the fat. I'm cutting the fat.
Oh, well, I feel free to pass on anything.
Sure,
I'm a bit, my friends think I'm a weirdo because I just love wearing females' perfume. I don't know why that is.
Fine.
Absolutely adore the female Izzy Miyake perfume.
Perfect.
I love
it.
Absolutely
great
love
perfume.
It. Yeah.
I'm wearing a gardenia, which is probably one of the most feminine ingredients today, actually. Mm. So there's no gender in perfume, and that's something that's I, as a sort of educator of scent, you know, whether I'm in the store selling it to someone or teaching people, you know, why is a rose a feminine ingredient and why is cedarwood a masculine ingredient?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave it at that, basically.
I ask you, where do you put the perfume on your body or the cologne on your body?
Oh,
yeah.
Good question.
Great question. Anywhere and everywhere, basically.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I always spray my neck and my wrists. I think that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
It's got to hit skin, though, doesn't it?
Of course. I don't believe in spraying and then walking through the air. That's just a silly practice.
That looks silly, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit too Hollywood for me. Mm-hmm. I always tell people moderation is good, 2 to 3, but then I think about it now and I sprayed on about 20 sprays before I got here. So,
I know I can smell you, and it's a sweet gardenia smell.
Excellent.
It's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Great. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back straight after these messages.
Are you an older lesbian in Victoria? The Matrix Guild is here for you. We organise social and supportive services, advocate for appropriate housing, and offer free visitor service for you at home or in care. We're always training new visitor volunteers, so please get in touch. Our annual fundraising lesbian comedy gala will keep you laughing all year. Visit matrixguildvic.org.au.
Do
94.9. You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Russ Masterton, Corey Lynch, Joe Pryor, and our special guest this afternoon, Mr. Liam Sadia, who is a fragrance connoisseur, curator, expert. So, Liam, can you tell us a little bit about that song and why it was important to you, the Susan Vega song?
I don't listen to music on the radio, you know, this sort of pop music. I sound like an old grandfather there, but that's just the reality of it.
You could never be old at 19, Liam. I'm sorry.
I'm an old soul. I guess that's the way I put it. I saw Susan Vega 2-3 years ago, actually. Oh. I was the youngest person in the audience, probably. The second youngest probably in their 40s. but she's just fantastic. She's a singer-songwriter. She speaks from the heart with a little bit of intellect in the mix, and that's why I love her so much. It's just an effortless and easy song.
And that song, Some Journey, was beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful, yeah. One of her underappreciated gems.
It is. It is absolutely gorgeous. I haven't seen Susan Vega live, but so I'm a bit envious there. I think that's
awesome.
She has
a heartbeat.
she is still around.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. I think she's releasing an album very soon, actually.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. So you're a fragrance curator. Before we go to Joe's question, if you have any questions about perfume today and what you should personally be wearing or what you would like to smell like, why don't you send them in a message on SMS 0427JOY949, or you could also email us onair@joy.org.au. We've got a fragrant expert in here today, and Liam will answer your questions. Joe.
Now, Liam, you and I met at a Laneway Learning
event.
Which I'll leave it for everybody else to Google Laneway Learning. We don't need to talk about that on the Escape Pod, but needless to say, big plug for them because it's a great idea. And you kind of casually mentioned that in your role at Men's Biz, which is the boutique in the Block Arcade. The Royal Arcade, where you sometimes make an appearance.
Yes.
You had a good client who had come to you saying that they were going overseas and wanted some assistance with fragrances for travel.
Yes.
Tell me more.
This customer... he was going overseas. He has a house in Portofino in Italy, which is very covetable, obviously.
Absolutely.
And he always he always comes in and he always wants a fragrance. And so he knows to come in on Saturdays because I'm in, and so we always have a good chat. And so he was talking to me, you know, I can't bring those 100ml bottles on the plane. I can bring them on the plane and in my luggage, but it's just a bit of a hassle to carry or lug around such a heavy bottle. So he said to me, well, what do I do? And I said, well, we sell perfumes in smaller sizes, of course. I think that's the obvious answer to give someone. So that was what I directed him to. I directed him to a fragrance in a small bottle, and that was quite concentrated as well. So one spray should last him the whole day.
Ah, so his question was about the actual size. Here I was, I had this romantic vision that, in fact, this client was coming to you because they were travelling and they wanted, you know, some kind of scent to match perhaps the location.
I mean, perhaps not that customer, but that happens quite a bit, actually, whether it's at work or with friends and relatives. In terms of advice, when it comes to travelling and going to new places and matching it with perfume, I always suggest, first and foremost, wear a new perfume to a new place.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because fragrances attach memory to themselves. And I'm sure all of you and everyone listening as well will realize that they sometimes may not wear a fragrance because they know someone that used to wear that particular fragrance.
True, yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
At the same time, sometimes I especially own fragrances that I never wear but will spray because it reminds me of something, whether it's a person or something I did and just happened to wear it on that day. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, for example, my lovely aunt actually went to Europe last year.
Another one.
No, it's the same one.
It's crazy.
It's the same aunt.
Jo's a lovely aunt.
Excellent. And she wore this particular fragrance, and she's like, oh, I'll buy a smaller one so I can take it with me. And I said to her, no, wear something new. Wear something similar, or at least just new altogether, so you attach the memory of Europe. And you know, 1 year later, that's all. I think that is so ingrained with that perfume that, you know, it's a bit like that Harry Potter. You know, when Dumbledore pulls the memory out of his brain, it's pretty much like that. But this is real life, so that's what perfume can do for you.
That's a great visual for me right now. Yeah.
Mm. That's fantastic. So if I, would you be able to say I went into your store and I decided, look, Liam, I've got no idea, fragrance, what should I wear? Do you run me through 100 bottles and say, Russ, this is for you?
No, a big firm no there. My job as the fragrance specialist or expert, or whatever you want to call me at this company, Men's Biz, is to, I guess, on one hand, also train the staff. And so I always go to them, think about the time you're at Meijer and you're assaulted by, you know, the elderly ladies with the blotters and the gaseous clouds. It's nebulous. So my goal as a trainer for the company and for anyone is to go be smart about it, be a little bit inquisitive. So ask questions. Why are you wearing this perfume? What's it for? When are you wearing it? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of me going, do you like this one? Yes. Do you like this one? No. And until we get the right one, it's a series of intelligently placed questions. So we generally, instead of, you know, throwing things around, we go, okay, woods or citrus, you know, so you pick one, and then we start broadly, we narrow down, and that's probably the best way to really match someone with a fragrance. We're all matchmakers, I guess, is the way to put it.
Well, we are here at the Escape Pod, and we're going to a few messages, and then we're going to come back and try to matchmake Corey and Joe together. Okay. How does that sound, everybody?
Great. Ready?
Excellent.
Joy
94.9. Talking to myself here is causing great concern for my health. Trying hard to escape this constant pull towards it. Why do you fight, Catherine? Why do you fight?
Thank you. Joy 94.9.
You're in Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Russ Masterton, Corey Lynch, Joe Pryor, and our special guest this afternoon, Mr. Liam Sardair. And that, of course, was Katie Lang with the name of the track eludes me right now.
The Mind of Love.
That's it. And the story behind that?
Oh, I've been on a very high, I've been on a Katie Lang high for the past about 10 to 12 months, actually.
Wow.
So you've gone into her back catalogue a bit?
Well, I started with All You Can Eat, which was one of her later works. I actually only had my Year 12 exams last year, so I needed to find some sort of solace, and that was through Katie Lang. So that's the short story.
Dare we ask how did you go? Did you get into?
I did very well. Yeah, I
You're at Melbourne.
I'm at Melbourne University. That's correct. I'm doing an arts degree, a major in philosophy, and another major to be determined.
Yes.
I worked hard, and it paid off, and that's the secret to everything, really.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So you've got an interesting outlook on life for someone so young.
I do.
So yeah, you're very passionate about philosophy. So give us some idea of where all of this came together for you.
Sure. I'll just give you a disclaimer. I can't instill any wisdom for you, unfortunately. That's a result of your own work.
Yep.
I just find philosophy is the one of many one of a few subjects that teach you critical thinking. And it's a subject that's immensely rewarding from the get-go. I just think, you know, you study it and you enrich yourself as a product of it. So, you know, a lot of kids, and again, grandfatherly moment, I'm talking about kids. I am one. I have to remind you probably. A lot of kids are going to university not to learn, but to earn. Whereas my mentality is go to do what you like, learn, enrich yourself. And the rest will follow. And the universe will provide.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Is that what you talk about on your blog? Or what do you have on there?
My blog is a fragrance blog predominantly. That's how I got into the business. That is men's business. I write reviews. But I always tell my readers, these are fragrance reviews, but they are fragrance reviews with strong input in terms of philosophical and sociological and cultural questions. So, you know, I wrote a post last night, actually, and the big question was, how do we find objectivity? Which also happens to be the subject I'm doing at university at the moment.
In a fragrance? Is that what you're
saying? Yes, exactly right. You know, one of my big questions that is always...
That's a big one.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, a lot of people are not polluting, but they're producing works in this big sea of white noise. And I obviously want to distinguish myself, and the best way to do that is to justify myself. And the question is, well, how do I objectify the subjective? And that's a question that's been going on for a few months now, and I haven't gotten anywhere with it.
Yeah, what's the blog? What's the...
The blog is called... it's a sort of a corruption of olfaction, so it's olfactics.net.
Ooh, olfactics.
Yeah. It's just, you know, rants, ravings, musings, reviews, just everything fragrance-related. But you could almost convince yourself you're reading a philosophy blog at the same time.
Okay, so in the future, where would you want to travel to? There must be some hot spots for fragrance around the world.
Oh, there's one hot spot, and that's Europe, obviously. Yes. France, and go to Grasse and smell the lavenders and the roses and the tuberoses and all that. That is the dream, to visit even the wine regions. Naturally, if you like fragrance, you like wine, I think. Yep. So just visit Burgundy and Bordeaux and the Rhone and all those places and... Just immerse the culture, and because every time you immerse a different culture, you yourself are enriched for it. Your perspective becomes a little bit more complex and that little bit more polygonal, which is really important.
Now, we have had a question.
Ah, good.
Yes, which is a very technical but practical question, I think. And it is, what is the best way to store perfumes, and also the length of time of freshness of modern fragrances, in so much as the time they will last in bottles?
Mm. That's the eternal question. I think that's the one question everyone asks.
Yes.
And there's, I guess the simple answer would be, the best way to store them is away from UV light and away from fluctuation in temperature. So a lot of people like to put their fragrances in their bathroom, but then you think about it and go, well, I you shower and that fluctuates the temperature.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We need stable. Think of it treat fragrance like wine in that you want stable conditions, yes, constant conditions.
I was just going to say it's the same thing, really. In that regard.
Exactly right. And in terms of how long it will stay fresh, I have a fragrance from 1940 that...
Wow.
And it still smells amazing. It's actually aging, like a good Bordeaux or something like that.
How interesting. How did you come by it?
Oh, it was a very nice 18th birthday gift from a fragrance friend and blog fan.
Wow.
A very nice gift.
That's very exciting.
So they would have perhaps bought it at auction.
I think possibly. I think it was hers and... You know, she's just passing the baton in that regard, and it's something that needs to be studied. And so, I wouldn't dare write about it yet. But it's a very venerable fragrance. Mm. Yeah. But that being said, not all scents will last. A citrus scent, for example, will go bad after, I don't know, 5 or 10 years or so, and that's because the molecules aren't as stable. That's probably the wrong word in chemistry terms, but I'll use that here. They're not as stable as a wood or a balsamic sort of musk fragrance. Yeah.
So were you a nerd at school?
Yes,
because I wish I was. I was the naughty boy at school. So I missed out on, and I wish I had have been a nerd now, because what you're talking about sounds absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
yeah. I wouldn't call myself the nerdy one. I was the studious one.
Yeah.
Although I avoid putting labels on things like that. I just did my work, and I made as many friends as I could and should. You know, I think. The important thing was to choose your friends wisely, you know, choose the ones that aren't going to waste your time, you know, in the simplest way. But yes, I was pretty nerdy. I was the wise one. I think I was the wise one anyway.
And then who were your influences? Because you have great style as well, he's wearing.
Thank you. I almost forgot that I was on a radio interview, actually, because I'm always dressing like this, but I'm... my influences...
When you were younger.
When I was younger. Yeah. I mean, The sort of television I watched was very interesting. It shaped me as the person I am today. I loved Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
I absolutely
adored that. I just loved the embracing of culture. You know, we had a doyen in fashion and grooming, mm-hmm, and interior design,
all the aspects,
and cooking. All the stereotypical... But they're stereotypical, but they're important aspects that I think they need to be... respected and cherished. So that was a big thing. I loved watching. I just loved the idea of a worldliness and culturalness, mm-hmm, through Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I actually borrow the title Culture Vulture from the Culture Guy. I think it was Jai Rodriguez, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You're right. Yeah.
So I use Culture Vulture for myself. But the other aunt actually gave me Domestic Goddess from Nigella Lawson.
Well, it would be God, domestic God,
well,
right,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
That's hilarious.
I'm a keen cook, and nice. I do have insatiable appetite, and an insatiable appetite, so that's hence the Nigella Lawson labelling there.
That's fantastic.
I love it. I will never let go of that. I love it.
So we've got a bit of Nigella and a cross between Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Even now, I think as I'm older, I'm watching Sex and the City, and I'm like, oh, you know, I love these aspects that it's a commentary on life in a period and life in a certain way. Mm. That's why I loved, you know, even The Good Life, a classic BBC from the 70s.
Yes.
That was, I bought the box set at the ABC shop in the start of the year, and it's just the most, frankly, the most gorgeous television show ever, I think. It's just perfect. Perfect.
I'm a bit of a Sex of the City fan. Yeah. I considered myself, well, in the day, I don't anymore, but I considered myself to be a bit of a Samantha.
Right.
A bit. Just a bit.
Now, Liam, you'll have to, I think, share with us perhaps some of your favourite scents and why.
Oh, goodness. That changes every second, every day, every hour.
Oh, and so did we work out the length of time with modern fragrances?
We did. Oh, okay. I think to quickly sum that up, a modern fragrance has synthetics, and that's not a bad thing. Synthetics are good. You know, there's no naturalistic, you know, worries there. A modern fragrance should last a very long time if stored correctly.
Okay.
Favorite fragrances. My guilty pleasure is Chanel No. 5, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just something so captivating about it. It's spherical. It's buttery. It's not buttery. It's polished. It's clean. It's refined. It's just, you know, obviously one of the greats for a reason. Mitsuko from Guerlain, a very old 1919 fragrance. It was the first of its style, and I like looking at the firsts of things as a way to reflect the time period.
And what are the keynotes in Mitsuko?
Yeah, Mitsuko is what we call a shipra in perfume talk, and that's a three-note accord, and that accord is bergamot, which is the citrus note you'll find in Earl Grey. It is cistus labdanum, which is a resinous shrub, very warm, and oak moss, which is a sort of a warm, dank sort of smell. Yeah, that's they're the three key components, and you'll find that accord in a lot of modern perfumes today. C from Giorgio Armani, a rather new fragrance, borrows from that styling. Yeah.
Interesting.
We've got to go to a break, and we're going to come back with more of Liam's favourite fragrances. I can't wait, because I am busy jotting down a whole heap of information here about perfume. You know, I'm going to be able to give up my Bruges 33, I think.
Melbourne Motorcycle Tourers is a Melbourne-based motorcycle club for gay and lesbian bikers. Participating in Melbourne's LGBTIQ community events and monthly get-togethers of our own. You need not be an outlaw, just have a motorbike and a sense of adventure. For more info, accelerate to motorcycletourers.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. You're on the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9 FM. You have Joe Pryor, Russ Marston, Corey Lynch, and our special guest today, Liam. Now, we've had someone call into the studio, Liam, and you might be able to expand on their question. We've just had Chris call in. Chris is after some information about a fragrance called Sander for Men. Do you know about Sander for Men and where it might be pertinent? Yes, you do. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to disappoint anyone, but I...
This is a fashion designer's fragrance, great, isn't it? Yes. Jill Sander. Yes.
I can't tell you where to get it, because frankly, I don't know. But I can give you tips on how to find it if you're looking for it. A lot of people get a little bit nervous about shopping online for fragrance, whereas I think...
Oh, because there was a bit of a disaster, wasn't there, with the strawberry...
Strawberry net?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was something, wasn't there?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I will admit I have purchased a fragrance or two from Strawberry Net. Perfectly good company based in an Asian country somewhere. My advice, if you're looking for a fragrance, look online, look at eBay. Someone that has a keen eye like myself, know when they can see a bargain for a scent that would otherwise be hundreds of dollars. So if you're looking for a fragrance that you can't find or is discontinued, go to chemists, you know.
Yes, I was going to say, without plugging something, I know that Chemist Warehouse have got a fairly big...
extensive range, don't they?
Yeah, and they've got the muscle, you know, to actually find some fragrances. I know that they've done that for me on occasion for something I've been looking for a gift, and I can't get out of the country to get it, and they've been very good.
Okay, excellent. Chris, well, there's our tip for you. Sander for Men, if you start scouring around online, we believe you you should be able to find it on there. How much should people spend on a good perfume, Liam?
You're asking the wrong person.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So
I'm going to weigh in and say exactly the same thing.
You guys both have empty hip pockets, right?
Yeah. But we smell good.
Yes, that's very true. Look, you're not hurting anyone by spending $6 million on a fragrance, so go ahead.
Okay. $6 million.
No, exaggeration, obviously. Oh. Although some designers, I think, probably do verge that territory. Look, when it goes to above about $250, that's when even I get a bit, do I really want to spend this much on a bottle of alcohol? Not that kind of alcohol, obviously. It's all relative. Spend what you're happy with spending.
Yeah. Liam, I'm wondering what you want to achieve with your career.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, I think it's very clear at the moment that whenever I talk about fragrance, I'm always linking it back to something historical or philosophical. So this career that I have as a blogger will sustain itself for hopefully forever. In terms of what I'm doing at Men's Biz, In the perfect world, I'd love to be there forever. It's exactly what I want to do and what I am doing. But, you know, I have drive, as that's obviously clear as well. And I think my dream would be to finish my degree, go back to school, finish that degree, go back to school, finish that degree. No. Probably, I'd love to teach. And even now, I'm teaching all of you at the moment. So, you know, something like lecturing would be fantastic. I'd love to teach philosophy. Maybe even write a paper on that objectivity question that I'm so keen on exploring.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious. I'm in that 50-something age bracket and you're, you know, still a teenager. How do you make money out of blogging?
Oh. Yeah. Short answer, I don't.
You don't? Okay. But you would like to, yeah?
Honestly, I wrote a post last night and I basically said never, ever, ever will I write a review for commercial purposes or sponsored or anything like that, if that makes sense. I want to write as a personal development thing.
Yes.
Intellect, develop my style and my prose. So I don't really get anything from blogging. It's merely a personal intellectual exercise. I guess I'll reiterate again.
Yep, yeah, it's a hobby.
Yeah, exactly right. And I guess I'm fortunate in the fact that Men's Biz pays me, basically.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you could, because of advertisements, if you get enough hits and whatnot, then they start noticing you and selling ads.
Look, the blog is popular. Yes. You know, don't distill that message from what I just said, but I think the real thing is, do you want to make a profit in this exercise? Is that going to detract from your credibility or validity.
Right.
Yeah, so again, another philosophical question on top of that for you.
And so you, would you, are there courses in Melbourne where men like me can go and learn about fragrance, where I could go?
Oh,
and
look, that's a great question. The short answer is no, not really. There is a course once a year run by a very big company called Fragrances of the World. A doyen by the name of Michael Edwards runs it for the day, and that's really helpful, but it's very much on this, the idea of categorization of perfume and evaluation. I guess, you know, to give a shameless plug here, I mean, Men's Biz, you know, come in and have a chat with me, really. That's the secret.
Absolutely. Yeah, one-on-one class.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We've got some messages to go to, and then we'll back with our resident culture vulture, Liam. We won't be far away.
Joy 94.9.
Hello, everybody. You're on the Escape Pod this afternoon. My name's Russ Masterton. You're here with Joe Pryor and Corrie Lynch. And we have our resident perfume expert in today, Mr. Liam, who is absolutely fabulous. Liam, we have just been asked a question by a listener, and the question is the difference between perfume and eau de toilette.
Eau de toilette?
Yes. What excellent. Are the differences there, please?
That's another universal question that I get asked a lot. So that means everything and nothing, because it all depends on the brand. One brand's eau de toilette will be another brand's eau de parfum, which doesn't answer your question, does it?
Right.
It just produces more questions. Take it as an indication of concentration. So, and I'll just list it for you now in terms of lowest to highest concentration. We've got aftershave and splash. We've got eau de cologne, eau de toilette, eau de parfum, and then parfum.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's just a matter of concentration. The eau de toilette will be not as strong as the pure parfum. Mm. So that's your answer there.
I had a friend who has a partner from Iraq, of all places, and they gave us some, I would imagine, some what was parfum for Christmas, and it was strong.
Yeah.
And I can be a little bit of a teaser to my partner. I decided to put a whole heap of it on his pillow one night. And I got in a lot of trouble.
It's very cruel.
Yeah, very cruel indeed. I know for me, I have no idea when it comes to cologne. Well, basically, what I do is I go in, if I like the smell of it, I thought, right, that's it, I'm buying that, it's all for me. Mm. Is that the way to buy?
Oh, I mean, if that's you, mm-hmm. sure. I think especially, and I'm in no position to comment on trends in consumerism from 10 years ago, but what I think is happening is knowledgeable consumers, people want to know where their things come from, where their things derive from, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm finding men want to know what's in their perfume, basically. Men, women, children, dogs, they want to know what's in their perfume. So a lot of the customers now that come into the store will go, who made this? Who's the perfumer? I'm a fan of this perfumer's work. Anything by Olivia Jacobetti? And I go, of course we do. And then we go on from there.
That is absolutely fantastic. We're almost out of time. Corrie, have you got a quick question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, have you ever been turned off to someone if you didn't like their smell?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's almost a non-question.
Oh, me too. I like stopped liking the person. I was like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, as a reviewer, I have to be objective and I can't say I don't like this. I have to justify that. But some people just naturally smell horrible.
Oh. And then on the other hand, one time I followed a woman literally down the street. I was lost. I didn't care. I was just like smelling her. That's weird. Is that weird?
No.
No, that's not.
I think
not.
That's quite normal. That might be how you meet your next girlfriend. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, I don't know.
It's time for us to go. Thank you so much, Liam, for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Corrie. And thank you to Joe. You're listening to The Escape Pod, and we have had a wonderful hour learning all about fragrance, and we hope to all see you all again soon.
Thank you very much.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.